customer base is kachini bekikar, and the woman says tineu la'ani. So over here, the Gemara paskins eina mekudeshet afilu ani hasamuch ala maitaima amra lei ki hechi de mechayevina lei ana hachi mechayev islei at. Namely, the same svara that we found by Kelev Rotz Achareha, that midoraisa chiyuvi mechayev islei atzulan. So over here also mechayev islei at, that you have a chiyuv to be mefarnes this ani. The question the Rishonim ask is, why is the previous case Kelev Rotz Achareha a teku? And over here, if we have the same svara, why over here do we say vadai eina mekudeshet? That's just as there is a mitzvah to save a woman, and that brings about a teku. In kelev ratz achareha, there's a mitzvah to give tzedakah. And so why over here vadai eina mekudeshet? So lechora, you know, if we'll go back, if we recall, in kelev ratz achareha, we saw if through machlokes rishonim, what was the suffix over there? And when we look at that, then we can work back to our case as to why that suffix perhaps does not apply in our case. So if you recall, the Tosus Ri HaZaken understood the suffix by Kelev Ratz Achareha was one of Smichus Das. What was her Kavana? What was her Kavana? One of Bahi Anod de Kamatzra Nafsha Gamra Umekanya Nafsha? Or did she have a kavana to be miskadesh, or was her kavana simply to save her life, but she had no intent to be mekudeshet? That level of suffix we have. Masha'en kein, such a suffix exists when she is receiving hana'a, the kamatzla nafsha. So then the question is, does that hana'a bring about a smichus da'as of kedushin or not? But in our case, she is not getting hana'a. The ani is getting hana'a. And therefore, that suffix of smichus das doesn't apply. We move over to the ritva. If you recall, the question of the ritva was, when a person is doing a mitzvah and he is spending money, does that money return to him? Is he compensated for that money? So if we say that he is not compensated, so then the money is going to her, and he's giving her hana'ah. And that would be in the sina of Kesef Kedushin. Masha Ein Kein, if he's going to be compensated, so it's a boomerang. The money went to her and is going to come back to him. That's not Kesef Kedushin. Namely, the question is, do we have over here a nasina, or don't we have a nasina? That's a local issue in the world of Hatzalas Nefashos. In the case of Ani, there is no Hatzalas Nefashos, so lechora, that whole issue falls off. Namely, that which was the suffix in the previous case has nothing to do with our case. It had to do specifically with that case. According to the Rashba, if you recall, over there we were dealing with what does it mean to help someone in the form of a mitzvah? Do we view it that you were helping the individual, that the individual is getting hana'ah when the mitzvah is being done? Sorry, yes?
Can't we say though, especially if it's a case where she's the one, like the one says, it's a case that the ani that relies on her. If she's responsible for taking care of the ani, so when he gives the ani money, so she gets to keep.
Yeah, but we don't have such a halacha. In other words, you're 100% correct. The Gemara mentions that afilu ani hasamuch ala, but ani hasamuch ala is not her chiyuv. In other words, when she has a dog, kelev shela. So a person is mechuyev to feed his animals. And a person is mechuyev to feed his animals before he eats himself. That's a chiyuv on the individual. So when a person feeds someone else's animal, he's giving hana'ah to the owner of the animal. Here, this ani decided to put himself on her cheshbon. But there's no more chiyuv on her than on him. In other words, there's a chiyuv on her to feed her dog. There is no chiyuv on her, lahavdila fafei havdalos, to take care of her ani. And so he is, you know, the hana'ah, if you want to, would be an indirect hana'ah, but not a direct hana'ah. When someone feeds her dog, that's a direct hana'ah. That he is, you know, that is her responsibility, and he is paying what she otherwise would have paid. That's a direct tana. Over here, this is not her responsibility. It's all Klal Yisrael's responsibility. And so, the fact that she would have done it otherwise, that's indirect. And that hana of being indirect would not be enough to bring about the smichus das that's required by the Tosas Riha Zaken. Okay. Masha'en came, according to the Rashba, if you recall, we dealt with how do we view the recipient of a mitzvah. Is the recipient of a mitzvah nehene? Or do we say, no, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is nehene. The recipient of the mitzvah, in the language of the Rashba, lo shakla v'lo midi. In other words, that the mitzvah has nothing to do with her. The mitzvah is between the person and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that, l'chora, as opposed to pikuach nefesh, it doesn't apply to Ani. That does relate to the Ani. The Ani is a recipient of a mitzvah. But exactly in the way that I said it, the Ani is a recipient of the mitzvah that answers the question. Namely, in the case of the dog running after her, the woman was the recipient of the mitzvah. So here we have two sides. The woman being the recipient of the mitzvah, is she getting hana or not? But if she's not at all the recipient of the mitzvah, if the Ani is the recipient of the mitzvah, so again, her hana maximum would be indirect, that she would be able to give her tzedakah to someone else as opposed to this Ani. But that is not enough of a hana to bring about a suffix within the world of Kedushin. So all the explanations that we gave to the previous Gemara of Kelet Ratzach Areha, none of these explanations are going to fit the case of the Ani. So in the case of the Ani, she is not getting any direct Hana'a, and therefore there's no reason to be Ma'aleh that she would have Smichus Das to be married. She never implied that she would be married on this basis. The problem, okay, so within our Gemara, to distinguish between Kelev Rutz and Tenehu La'ani, that is a clear distinction. The problem is that both the Rashba and the Tosfos Rihazaken quote a Yerushalmi that has an opposite conclusion of our Gemara. The case is slightly different. The case is that the person goes to a woman and says, Hiskachili Bisela, I want to be Mekadesh you with this coin. And then she says, Tenehu La'ani. And on that case, the Yerushalmi says, Mekudeshet. That then she is Mekudeshet. And the question is, do we have over here a Machlokes Bavli V'Yerushalmi? And if so, what is the Svara of the Yerushalmi? Or, hopefully, we can say maybe there is no Machlokes Bavli V'Yerushalmi, and that the Bavli would agree, but somehow there is enough of a difference in these cases that to explain why there should be a distinction between the two cases. So what did you see in the Tosfos Rihazaken and the Rashba? How did they relate to this Yerushalmi? What option did they raise? That perhaps we have over here two different cases, that perhaps the distinction between Kikar and Sela is enough to change the Psak Halacha. That when we're dealing with a Kikar, when we're dealing with a roll, then the halacha is Einam HaKudeshet. When we're dealing with a Sela, when we're dealing with a $20 bill, then she would be Mekudeshet. What my nafgamina between, what over here would be the Svara to distinguish?
You have the Svara of Hechli Uchai Re'ana, because you don't have to pay to give that much money at once.
And therefore, so how do we view the $20? That maybe within the $20, normally people don't give $20 to tzedakah, unless it's poor, right? Normally people don't give $20 to tzedakah. They would give $5 to tzedakah, right? The person comes to the door, give him $5. So how then do we view the other $15?
It's money to her.
That would be money to her which is given to the Ani. Namely, that would, in other words, $5 is my tzedakah to the Ani. And $15 I'm giving to the Ani because she said, give him the money. So I'm giving him $15. I'm giving him a gift of $15 based on her word. What do we call that in halacha? Arev. And a person can be Mekadesh and Isha by Arev, that the Hana, that her word was being kept, would be enough to be Makadisha. That perhaps that the Bavli would agree with the Yerushalmi that when we're dealing with a seller, when we're dealing with a large amount which is being given to her, there is room to say that we can divide the amount. Part of it is staka, and on that, the svara of the woman is correct. You're chayav and staka just like me, but part of it was meant as a matana, based on her word. So, my nafgamina, if we're dealing with teneyu la'aba, teneyu la'avicha, teneyu la'ploni, or we're dealing over here with teneyu la'ani. The ani is also a person. Both the Tosus Hazaken and the Rashba reject this option. For what reason? In other words, Natata Drecha L'Shiurim, a kikar, who says they're talking about a roll? Maybe we're talking about a, you know, where it's a huge Pidyon HaBen Chala, A. B, in other words, who is to say that when you give staka of a large amount, that we have the right to divide it into two? You know, it's very fascinating. There is such a question in the world of going to a wedding. Let's say you're going to a wedding, and you know that the chasan and kala don't have anything. And so your question is, can I give them, you know, if I would give them a normal gift, let's say I normally give at a wedding $25. So I would give them $25, but if I could take it from Meisr Ksafim, I could give them $100. So can I give them a wedding gift from Meisr Ksafim? So the psak generally is that you have to take off from Meisr Ksafim that which you would have given otherwise. Namely, give them $100, 75 of that would be Ma'aser Ksafim, and 25 would be from you. In other words, so there, we have the possibility of splitting it. However, when someone comes to your door and asks for tzedakah, and you give them $100, ma pit'om, that should not be viewed as all tzedakah. And that's what the Tosfos Ri HaZaken points out, that if we're going to play the game of dividing it, we know that an ani can only be defined as an ani if he has less than a certain amount of money. If we're going to divide it, then the part of the matan is going to bring him over the level of being an ani, and then he can't accept it tzedakah. It's very, very hard to make such distinctions. So in any case, even though the Rashba and the Tosfos Ri HaZaken raise as a possibility that the Bavli and the Yerushalmi can go hand in hand, they both reject that, and basically the Yerushalmi stands as being opposed to the Bavli. And then it's very, very difficult to understand. In other words, and they're working over the assumption that clearly the entire amount would be tzedaka. So exactly how, within the Yerushalmi, to reach a level of suffik, we found difficulty. Moving from, you know, it's from Ein Mekudeshet to suffik, move to Ein Mekudeshet all the way to Mekudeshet, would be difficult unless we say that even giving tzedaka based on the word of the woman would be considered to be arev. Namely, not that you require a matana, but arev is doing the woman's will. And so if her will is that tzedakah be given, in other words, the woman, let's say the woman had taken the initiative and said, if you will give tzedakah to Yad Eliezer, I'll be married to you. If you will give tzedakah to United Jewish Appeal, I'll be married to you. Maybe that would work. In other words, it's... That also would be considered to be a form of hana'a that simply shishama b'kola, that he did what she asked. It's going to a person, so we don't have the issue of the or of the sela. Money is being given, money is being lost. Maybe that would be enough. In other words, maybe the machokas over here would be within the din of Arev, not necessarily splitting the tzedakah, but simply whether tzedakah itself would bring us into the world of Arev. That within the Bavli, tzedakah doesn't bring you into the world of Arev. Tzedakah is your, in which we saw in the Bavli, the Svara, like we saw in the Rashba, that when you do a mitzvah, the Hana'a is to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So maybe that would even take away the nature of Arev. Unclear. Okay. So, according to the Bavli, within Tosfos, the moment the woman is reacting as opposed to initiating, right, we saw in Rashi and Tosfos, that is no longer din of Arev. So maybe on that the Yerushalmi disagrees. But that would be the machlokas. Okay, so in other words, to have a machlokas Bavli, the Yerushalmi, that is feasible. In other words, that any of the various reasons why we want to say that Ariv would not apply to the Gemara and Chasam Adays, that the Bavli, the Yerushalmi would disagree with any one of those reasons. Okay, then our Gemara moves over to a whole series of cases. Ahu gavra da have mizben chumrei pat chaisa. He's selling these beads. Asoy hahi isisa amrei havli chad sucha or shucha. Amrla yehivnach mekachisli amrle hava mahava. Amar Rabbi Chama kol hava mahava lav krumhu. What was the question of the Gemara? It's what over here is the issue that Rav Chama is paskening? What was the question?
She said, "Give it to me." She meant, "Give it to me," as you said.
Again, an issue of smichus das. An issue of smichus das. Did she have kavana to be mitkadeshet? Can we mitdayek from her language that she had a kavana to be mitkadeshet? And that's what Tosfos points out in the second Tosfos, that all of these uvdot tzarech ashme'inan, because we have issues of smichus das. Every case has a different level, perhaps, of smichus das. Ha'u dezavin gabra havishasi chamra. Ha'u gabra koshasi chamra bechanusa. Ha'asi ha'i isis amralei havli kadkosa, i'evnach mekadeshesli, ashki ashkayan, amra v'chama ko ashki ashkan rav klumu. Ha'u gabra the havi koshadi tamrei midikla, asayahi isisa amalei shadi li tarte, amalei shadinach mekeshesli, amalei shadi mishta yamei rav zvid, koch shadi mishta rav klumhu. Iboi luhu hav ashke shadi mahu, amar ravina mekudeshet. Rav Sama Baraksa amar taga demalka, eina mekudeshes. Vihilchasa eina mekudeshes. So we have over here a number of cases where the common denominator is that we have we have an issue of smichus das. What does Tos point out in the first Tosfos? Have ashki shadi ena mekudeshet. V'im tomar mi gara matan maos leploni de mekudeshet kol shekin shameres tainli to me. Namely, Tosfos wants to ask if Orev is mekudesh, even though the money is going to a third party. She says the money is coming to me. Shouldn't this be a kal v'chomer? Shaini hacha de meikar hayesa shu'elas shelo b'taras kedushin. Mishum hachi, yikromek shomeres hav, adai to the meikar kamra. Again, that we're dealing over here with her not taking the initiative in the realm of kedushin. The realm of kedushin is brought in by the man after she was simply interested in the pure hana'ah. And so our question is, at what point are we afraid that maybe she changed her mind and moved off of the pure Hanah to a world of Kedushin? And the bottom line of the Gemara is that she is Eina Mekudeshet, that we don't have over here an indication, enough of an indication of Smichus Das in any of these situations. What issue is raised over here that we had dealt with back on Daf Hei, Daf Vav, in terms of the world of Kedushin? Classically, we require not only Nasina of Kesef Kedushin, but what else? What has to accompany the Nasina? And Das, of course, which is the question over here. What has to accompany? Someone said it?
Yeah.
An Amira. And what over here is unique about all these cases as opposed to a classic Amira? Right, and there was classic amiras are statements and acceptance of statements. Over here, we're dealing with a world of a question and an answer, in which the answer doesn't relate to the question. Right, in other words, the question is, "Will you be mekudeshet to me?" And she says, "Hand it over." In other words, without answering his question directly. So this brings us into the issue of asukim ba'oso inyan. To what degree can we read into a case kavanos because of the context? To what degree? And that the Rashba talks about over here, and leaves it, goes back and forth in terms as to whether one can or cannot. In other words, that the issue over here, all the questions of the Gemara, is basically how much can we read into the question and the answer in terms of smichus das. Okay. Then the Gemara simply summarizes the list of hilchasas. Hilchasa shiro ilo tzrichi shuma, hilchasa kerav alazar, hilchasa ke rava. That we have conclusions of the sugyas that we've been dealing with up to this time. What bothered Tosas over here, Hilchasa Shiroi Lo Tzricha Shuma, with the syntax of the Gemara?
The name.
In other words, why should the Gemara change horses in midstream? Why should it always say the halacha is like a particular amora, and over here give the case as opposed to the name of the amora? Say Hilchasa Ke Rabba. And so this pushed Rabbeinu Tam to say that we are not paskening like Rabba across the board. Rabba across the board felt that nothing requires a shuma. What the Gemara over here is paskening is that generally we'll need a shuma. What does not require a shuma? Specifically, shiroi. Why is shiroi unique from all other objects? So here, going back to what we saw earlier, we saw a Rambam felt that what's the difference between shiroi and everything else? She desires it, and therefore, she doesn't care what it's worth. In other words, if you desire something, she's planning on wearing it, she's planning on keeping it, mayna afkamina, how much it's worth. She wants to keep it. If she doesn't desire it, so then we're talking over here about possessions that can be sold. And so then the smichus das comes into being. And so the Rambam says that if she's not planning on selling it, if she's planning on keeping it, who cares what it's worth? If she's planning on selling it, then we're missing the shuma. That's already a chisar in her smichus das. Rabbeinu Tam, however, takes a different approach. What's Rabbeinu Tam's approach?
The
question is that in the shiroi lo tzarech shuma, this is something that the woman is used to dealing with shiroi, and she can already on her own estimate the price, and she has a full smichus das. Any other object, we have an issue that she is not found in those areas and is unaware of value. And Rabbeinu Tam specifically mentions what area is the most volatile area in terms of a difference between appearance and real and value.
Precious stones,
right? And we're all aware nowadays, right, that things can look like diamonds and not be diamonds. And there's a famous short story by Guy de Maupassant called The Necklace that we had to read in high school about a woman who thought that she had received a very valuable string of pearls, and she lost it and spent her whole life, paying back this debt. And it turned out that it was simply costume jewelry, and, you know, it's... No, it's one of those stories you read in high school. I don't know exactly what the message of the story is, but I remember it was very powerful. That's an area where there is a particular issue, and therefore Rabbeinu Tam felt that this was the source of Minhag Ashkenaz, not to have stones on a wedding ring, so as not to bring about a situation of her claiming later on that this was the Mekach Tos. The question is how far Rabbeinu Tam went in terms of his distinction. And that's already a machlokes rishonim, al-atar, between the Rosh and between the Ran. Namely, was Rabbeinu Tam speaking in a situation where the woman was told, here is this ring, and it is worth kach v'kach? That's where she lacks smichas das. But if he simply says, here is this ring, kol dehu, then the woman is not bothered, it's certainly worth a kol dehu. Or do we say that Rabbeinu Tam was even dealing in the world of kol dehu, that even there, by its nature, we lack smichas das? The Ran takes it to the extreme of even the kol dehu. The Rosh takes Rabbeinu Tam only to a case of where he told her, and there is a lack of of ne'emonos, which brings about the lack of smichus das. Within Shulchan Aruch, what did you see over there? Do we paskin? How does the Shulchan Aruch paskin? The Machaber paskins meikar hadin, like Rabba, that really there's no din of Shuma, that's Sif Aleph. Then he quotes V'yesh Omrim, he quotes Rabbeinu Tam, in both permutations. V'yesh Omrim, V'yesh Omrim. The Rabbeinu Tam of the Rosh, the Rabbeinu Tam of the Ran, and then points out the Minhag Ashkenaz of not using stones in a ring, and then the Ramah brings in, points out that in Ashkenaz we also have two more safeguards to be certain that there's not going to be a taino later on of mekach toes. In other words, one is that the ring is a ring without stones. So that itself should bring about a, you know, where it's a sense of the fact that she is aware that this is not necessarily tremendously valuable. A. B. What's the first safeguard that we have in Ashkenaz? Edim. That we show the ring to Edim, and we ask Edim, is this worth a pruta? And they say yes. So even if the woman had thought, he's being mekadesh me with who knows what, in other words, the Edim are pointing out that he's being mekadesh her with the Sheva Pruta. In other words, that no matter how much this is worth, his kavana is the Sheva Pruta, that the Edim are saying that in front of the woman so that she should not have any fantasies in mind. And what's the second safeguard? The hinuma, right? That which we had spoken about earlier, the hinuma, perhaps the veil as being a form of chuppah, and we got involved with the issue of chuppah pre-kiddushin and chuppah post-kiddushin, or that we would assume that the hinuma would be a concept of tznius, like by Rivka, right? That she would cover herself. All of a sudden, the hinuma turns into a tool. That she will not see the ring at all, that she will just be receiving a ring unseen, and as such, she would not have any fantasies of how much this is worth, because she hasn't seen it. So all that she knows is that it's worth at least a pruta, and on that basis she would be mekudeshet. So all of these, sometimes we think we know all of the reasons behind minhagim, so here we have a Ramah who fills us in on, you know, that the hinuma also has a very, very practical Evan Ezer concept, leaving aside the issues of the framework of chupa and kedushin, and leaving aside the framework of tznius. Okay, Adkan. I'd like Bli Neder a week from now to get into the sugya of shtar. Can pass these around. Okay, the Mar Makomos take you to the two dots on Tess Amud Beis. I'm not certain that we're going to get all that far, but we'll take it, you know, it's sort of section by section as I divided it within the Mar Makomos. Beseder? Okay, so we should all have a meeting. Well, I'll see you all tomorrow. It's on Tanya Sester, so.